Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, as I said, we are headed towards communion this morning, and we've got some confessions that we want to make, some word-based confessions, and we started a little mini-series last week, and it's the title of the series is Prosperity in Three Realms, and the prosperity of finances, the prosperity of the body, and then the prosperity of the mind and emotions, and we broke that down, and that's in 3 John, verse 2, only one chapter. And Kevin was sharing that they had taken that simple verse and stood on it concerning, I believe it's your daughter-in-law, and been diagnosed with cancer. And then they went back and found out a much, much better diagnosis after prayer. Much better. And then they're believing that they're going to stand on that verse and just see absolute total eradication, healing. Praise God. So they found out it wasn't the kind that spread, and that's really good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So last week we did part one, and now we're going into part two. But let me pass and review just for a few moments, because hopefully you were here last week. If you weren't, go on YouTube or go on our website. There are two places, you know, that you can find us. You can go to our website and everything's archived there, and you can watch us there, or you can go on our YouTube channel and find us there. So let me review part one for just a moment. Why don't you turn with me to 3 John? That's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So it's real close to the end of your Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So 3 John chapter 3 John verse 1. Chapter 1 verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things. Everybody say all things. Man, that sounds like priority, doesn't it? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And that prosperity, we broke it down last week. It really does mean financial prosperity. It really does. Because you could say it prosperity in every way, yes. But you could narrow it down to, it even in the Greek, it said business transactions. And that you be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Now we broke down that word soul, and it's the word psuche, and it's the word psuche is soul, or it's the same word where you get the word psychology, psychic, all those words. And it has everything to do with not only the mind, but it's really three part mind, will, and also the emotions. So God wants us prospering financially. He wants us prospering in our bodies. And he also wants us prospering emotionally and mentally as well. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We talked about last week the difference between healing and health. And I won't belabor this too long because we do have several things, and we want to pass out a confession sheet that has been developed a long time ago by our dear friend Gary Carpenter. It's on his website. It's on our website in the printed material section. In fact, for those of you that want to go with us as far as watching, most of you are pretty familiar. If you familiar with our website, you'd have to go to our website. If you're on YouTube, just go to our website with your smart device and go to the, I believe it's teachings, and then teachings will take you to printed material. And printed material, you'll see the confessions there. There are the, you'll see all the printed material, but part of that is healing confessions or confessions for healing, however we have it there. So you'll be ready for that. And then later we're going to have some confessions concerning the mind and emotion. So you'll be ready for those. You can say them along with us. But healing, we said last week, healing and health are two different things. There's no prerequisite. There's no card that you have to present in before God or healing line to say, here I've been a good steward of my health. Here, Lord, I've been a good steward of keeping my body. I've tried to eat right, exercise, and do a lot of the right things. You don't find it in Jesus' ministry. You'll never find it in ours where we walk down through the line now. Have you been taken care of? No, no, no. The only prerequisite for healing, miracle healing, whether it's instantaneous or as you go, is faith. That's the only thing, faith. Now, there's one caveat that I will mention, and I said this last week, that when Jesus prayed for all of the sick in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those were all sinners. Nobody was born again. You do understand that salvation didn't happen until Jesus rose from the dead. So all of those were, they were the world. That's who we're after in this revival. We're believing God there's a revival in the church, and then there's a revival in the world. Of course, we bring them in. But Jesus prayed to an unregenerate crowd, or he prayed for people that weren't Christians. Nobody was born again, not even his disciples. And so in that sense of the word, they were not accountable to follow the dictates of the new nature. They were accountable to follow the law, but there was a different accountability based on where they were at. Once you come in the kingdom, we know this, just because your spirit is changed, that doesn't mean your body changes. The moment you got born again, something changed on the inside. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, meaning all things that were created inside of you came about by the unction of the Holy Spirit. But he left your body the same. You're going to get a new body. But there could be a number of things that are at work in your body. But as a born-again believer, you are not only supposed to believe the promises, you're supposed to follow the dictates of a righteous nature. Now, if you don't, and you get out into rebellion, it's not God that brings the sickness. But if you get out there in the devil's territory, you know, you're doing stuff that you know that you're not supposed to do, then James said this, is there any sick among you? Well, yes. Let them call for the elders of the church. In other words, if you couldn't get it yourself, then call for an elder. They'll join their faith. They'll lay hands on you and pray for you. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. It means to heal the sick. And he put this in there, just a IF, if they've committed sin, it will be forgiven them. Now, why is that important? In other words, if that person is, that Christian's living in sin, they need to get that straightened out. They need to get it straightened out. In other words, he didn't accuse anybody. He didn't say they were living in sin, because not Christians, just because Christians are sick doesn't mean they're living in sin. I hope you know that. But there could be. There's an if there. It could have something to do with it. So he said, if that's happening, they need to get that straightened out, get cleansed, and then get healed. Amen. So standing in a prayer line, you can all really back to all that's necessary is just faith. So faith is necessary to get the person that is believing, or you're believing for the person, is to get them healed. That's the main thing. So it's not like you're checking, like, have you been doing all the right things, you know, for your body and this, that, and the other. But healing or the miraculous is different than health. Health is your ongoing wellness. In other words, just because you can be healed instantly, if you don't continue to take, in other words, I'll be real, this isn't too nice, but you could have been the biggest slob. I'm not talking about weight-wise. I'm just talking about the biggest slob with taking care of your body for 40 years. You had all kinds of junk 50 years. You step up and say, God, okay, I need healing. This hurts, that hurts, this is diseased, that's diseased. He doesn't go down through a card and say, okay, you should have done that. No, there's no accusation. All that's necessary is that you just lift your hands and say, the healing stripes of Jesus Christ, they healed me. That's the miracle of healing. But the miracle of health is this. You can't go on from there and just go right back into doing anything and everything you want to with your body. Why? Because that... Why? Seriously? Because your body will return right back to where it was. You can't defy wisdom and expect faith to override wisdom. In other words, you can't go out and play in the rain in 20-degree weather and then come in and say, I don't know why I've got a cold. It was a devil. No, it was stupidity. That's all it was. You are the steward then of taking care of your bodies and doing those things that are necessary. Well, we went into that last week. I always like this. I got to get out here among you when I give this. Pastor Dave Roberson, he always talked about I think I said last week, the white horse syndrome. He called it the white horse mentality, or the way that people think. I get prayer requests on the website all the time, and I try to be real nice and answer it, but I can tell by the way that people are listing their prayer requests that they're not really listening to our services. They're just like surfing and, oh, there's a preacher. I'll send in. Maybe he'll get me healed. Well, my faith for you will work for a little bit. But then if you don't go in, then after a while, it won't. I told the story last week. I got to be careful with my time. I told the story last week. Kenneth Hagin's sister, she had cancer. He prayed for her. She got totally healed. Then 2 years or a year and a half, 2 years later, whatever, it came back again. He was going to go pray for her again. God said, no. I don't know if he said it like that. He said, don't pray for her. She's coming home. I'm going to receive her, but she's going to die. Don't pray for her because I won't come and heal her. He said she had 2 years to get into the Word and get into prayer and do what she needed to do and grow up, and she wouldn't do it. So I'm not going to come. I'm not. She's going to come to be with me. In other words, you can't always, there comes a point in time you got to grow up, and you can't get somebody else to do it for you. Do you understand that? So the white horse syndrome was people start praying to start with when they're praying and they start confessing, or they give God a, God, I'm broke, I'm depressed, and my body hurts. And they think to start with that God's just going to, he would say, you know, it's like the Long Ranger rides again. But you can imagine, if you don't even know the Long Ranger, who that is, it's like, here comes Jesus on this white horse. And you're thinking like, okay, here he comes. I need an immediate miracle. And he rides up. Here's your miracle of healing. Be healed. And glory to God, I feel so good. And oh, here's a sack of gold for your finances. Oh my God, I've just been believing. And oh, your depression and fear here. Go. And man, you're just, and they think that he rides off. And what does he say? The horse's name is Holy Ghost. Hi-o, Holy Ghost, away. You know, and they think, people think that he just comes and does something irregardless of them. Irregardless of them. In other words, come do all this stuff for me, Jesus. But leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he doesn't leave you alone. Because once... Now here's the sad truth. And it applies to me too. You are who you are because of you. What? That? You are who you are mainly. Mainly because of you. Do you understand that? We sing a song, "There Are No Victims." That victim means that after you get in Christ, you could have heard Natalie's story. She got healed because of who she is. And I told her, I said, God met you there. But he didn't just meet you there. It's because of what you've been doing here that he met you there. He doesn't just come and meet you at a certain point just out of the blue. It was a conference, but it was way more. What was way more important than the conference she went to was the foundation of prayer that she'd been giving herself over to over these past several years. So he comes and he does stuff to change you, because usually once you get in Christ, there's a victim mentality. I love when Donner comes. Sold at four. Mother sold her to men at four. Her mother was an alcoholic. Sold her at four. She grew up hating everything that wore breeches. She became a witch. I mean, one of those black witches. Mean. She said what she loved to do is to get devils sent after Christians that were fakes. She said, I couldn't handle a real Christian, but anybody that was a fake doing stuff behind closed doors and just acting the Christian, she said, those devils, I could get those devils to torment them. But she got born again. And boy, did she get healed. My God. She got healed. Well, most people want God to come and just leave them alone. But no, the way that he gets out on your body, the way that he gets out on your finances, the way that he gets out on every part of you is he starts changing you. Because even if he could do all that stuff and give you a bunch of money and heal you, if you continue to be what you are, you're not going to have... I'm a victim. Oh, I'm a victim. I don't have anything because... I'm a victim in life. No, wait a minute. You're probably, unless you live in a Ukraine, you're probably, mostly, everything, all the sum total of all your decisions up to this point. Do you understand that? And only when you become man enough or woman enough, and all of us have had to reconcile that. Well, I'm an emotional mess. Well, let me ask you something. What are you doing to replace it? It's not a light switch. Emotions are not a light switch that you turn off on the wall. Pastor Dave used to say emotions had to be turned. You couldn't be just depressed, bipolar today. He could come and if it's a devil, he could cast that out. But then you've got to start doing the things. You've got to change that victim mentality. You gotta, it's as much in what you don't do as what you do do. Well, I'm gonna watch these soap operas and everybody's cheating on each other, but I'm gonna watch the news. My God, you'll hang yourself. You need to get, I'm not against it. Most of my spiritual friends, and I know that they're spiritual enough to have it. You need to get off so much on Facebook. Telling everybody your business. Did you know, I'll tell you this. If I did get, and I'm not, but if I did get something where they told me it's real, real serious, real serious. Only certain ones of you would know it. Only certain ones of you. It's not that I don't love the rest of you. It'll be based on what you don't say. You get on there, pray for me, pray for me. Do you think that the volume of prayers, God's counting, there's 1,000 people praying, 1,000 people who have no authority. I'd rather have one. I'd probably have 10 or less people on the planet that really knew what I was facing. I'm going to get on there. My sacroiliac is hurting me. And then you've got 10. Well, my cousin, he thought it was his sacroiliac and it was cancer and it killed him. And then you, oh God, oh God, oh God. You created that. You're the one that created that. I'm depressed. You're creating your own depression and fears. You are the sum total of you. You make you. Most people love, they just love to have somebody else. I'm the reason because of them. It feels so good to blame somebody. But the moment that you ever start down the road of freedom is the moment that you step up and say, wait a minute. My failures in life. If you're a kid, you can't hardly defend yourself. If you live in a third world country where there's really, they put you behind bars. But most of everything, the sum total of we are who we are. 5 divorces later. I just keep running into these wrong people. And it's an attack from Satan. No, listen, honey. Listen. They were what you didn't think they were before you married them. The only reason why you married them is because there was something in you that couldn't see it. The blindness, yeah, they were what they were. And you said, 6 months, he went crazy and he wasn't nothing like I thought. No. He or she was what they were before you married him. You were just in love. And your emotions blinded you to anything that he could possibly step up and change, block your path. So there's no need for us to get under condemnation. We get it under the blood. But what we have to understand is, I am not a victim. I'm not a victim. Whew. Let's do the physical confessions, because we're going to have, this is a corresponding action. If you're fighting something in your body daily, let's hand these out, could we? These are compliments of our brother Gary Carpenter, and if you look on our website, We'll read these together. It'll take us just a few minutes, and then we'll talk a little bit about our emotional healing. And then we're going to take communion together. Everyone, please get one of these if you're watching our website or watching streaming. Should be enough. If not, then you can share with somebody. Hallelujah. Now, I would highly suggest, does everyone have one? And some of you can go home and print these, and some of you can follow along on your smartphone. If you're facing something in your body, I use these all the time. All the time. And they are confessions, words that we speak with our mouth, but they're based on Scripture. You can actually go to these Scriptures and check them out and see if they're not based on Scripture. Let me read the top part of this, and then we will confess together. These are Scriptures for healing and health. Proverbs 4:20 through 22 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto them, unto those who find them, and health." Health. The Hebrew word is medicine to all of their flesh. God's word is medicine to our flesh. Treat these confessions like medicine. Take them three times. This is what Gary suggested. And boy, if you need them more often than that, just keep confessing throughout the day. Take them three times a day by speaking them out loud, morning, noon, and night, until the word becomes one with your flesh. Remember that he sent his word and healed them. And that's Psalms 107, verse 20. Now let's begin to read these together, and we'll start. And it's okay if we're not in sync so much. It's just us saying them out loud. And let's just not say this for practice. Receive this in your body, those who are watching and hear, as we say these things. I serve the Lord my God. He blesses my bread and my water. God himself takes sickness away from me and my house. My God is the Lord that heals me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my healer. I bless you, Lord. I do not forget any of your benefits to me. You forgive all my sins. You heal all my diseases. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from every sickness and every disease, including every sickness and every disease not specifically written in the law. I am free from all sickness and every disease. Jesus himself took infirmity and sickness away from me. He took it. It is illegal for weakness and sickness to attack my body. I refuse it. I am strong. I am well. I am healed. I am healthy. Jesus came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. By his stripes I am healed. All punishment was laid upon Jesus at the cross. He bore the penalty of sin and sickness away in his own body. I never have to have sickness in my body. I am healed. I forbid any sickness or disease from attacking my body. Every virus and every germ that would attempt to attack my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ dwells within me. Greater is he that is within me than anything that is in the world. The life of God within me repels every attack by sickness and disease upon my body. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. My heartbeat is strong and regular, sending pure blood throughout my body. My veins and arteries are unclogged. I have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I command every sickness and disease, including growths, tumors, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and every other name that is named, to bow the knee and leave me forever. Jesus is my mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. With his stripes I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I speak to my body and I command every organ to function perfectly, exactly as the Lord originally designed you to do. Body, be healed, whole, and healthy. I will live and not die. I will declare the works of the Lord. With long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. I am willing and obedient. So shall I eat of the good of the land. I forgive every person their trespasses against me. I am free from unforgiveness and strife. I am free from all torment. I am healthy and whole. As you were with Moses, Lord, so you are with me. My eyes are not dim, neither are my natural forces abated. My eyes are blessed for they see. My ears are blessed for they hear. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I forbid sickness to dominate my body. Your words are spirit and life to my flesh. At communion, I remember the blood that was shed for payment of my sin. I remember the Lord's body that was broken for me. I remember the price Jesus paid to set me free from sin and sickness. I am whole and healed, Lord, because of you. The Lord desires above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Amen. So I would say to you, take these, at least once a day, if you're really fighting something in your body. And I recommend communion. I recommend communion at home. So we're going to do that here in a little bit. But let's talk about mental and emotional health. As I said before, that mental health or emotional health is, of course, a promise of God's Word. Sometimes it can be affected by physical things that you're going through. Also, I believe that Satan can come on the physical part that and just accelerate it, try to pour gas on it. And so your mental and emotional health is very, very important. The Word says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, you can turn there if you'd like, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter says this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now that comes from Psalms 34:14. We're not going to turn there, but that's what Peter was rehearsing. I can read this, or if you're quick enough, you can turn there. But this is in Ephesians chapter 6. This is talking about the armor of God. But let me stop and just talk about Peter for just a moment. We are instructed to seek peace. We should seek peace. Jesus is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He wants us filled with peace. So it's not wrong to say, Lord, I receive more of your peace. I want more of your peace. I seek more of your peace. So we should go after peace. Now, let's talk just for a moment about peace as it relates to the armor of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we've taught this so many times before. I'll just remind all of you, wonderful audience, that when he's giving all of this armament that we're supposed to be dressed in, this is coming in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians has six chapters. For five chapters, he teaches you the character of Christ. In other words, this isn't a little play thing that you do with kids. You can teach them this to help them remember. But this is real life. This is the character. What he's saying is the armament is all the character of Christ lived out inside of you. This isn't like a dress up, like I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm putting on my girdle of truth. That won't do anybody any good. The devil's going, and what? I'm going to slap you if you don't understand who you are in Christ. These things are the character of Christ. These are the girdle of truth. What is that? Well, one, it's not, somebody said, I know it's the Word of God. No, it's not really per se, because you back up in Ephesians and you find out that he says each man speaking truth to his brother. In other words, the girdle of truth is that you walk with your tongue speaking truth. In other words, you can't be a liar or an extreme exaggerator and have on a good, strong girdle of truth. In other words, you'll tell the devil to get out of my body. And he just says, oh, why should I? Because you're the biggest liar. I just caught you in a lie last night. To put on the girdle of truth is not to say I'm putting on the girdle. It's an action of you doing. The breastplate of righteousness, what is that? It's following the dictates of the inner man. It's following the dictates of the inner man. If somebody wanted to help, that'd be great. Maybe she's fine. She's fine. The dictates of the inner man. See, I got Wilda going. The dictates of the inner man is this. Righteousness, the blessed breastplate of righteousness. You're watching that thing. You thought it was going to be a good movie. Then all the kids, most of every, well, these are got some, I'll say I'll be real nice. Then the apparel starts leaving. The apparel starts leaving. You say, well, I rented this. We'll just get by this. Or you're in that theater, and then you start seeing that stuff. Something on the inside has to raise up on the inside and say, I can't, as a believer, watch this. I can't defile myself by watching this. But you know you can bypass that. That's that breastplate of righteousness raising up on the inside of you. And saying, don't do it. But you can bypass it and you can say, oh, that little voice on the inside, I'm not going to listen to it. You've defiled that breastplate of righteousness. Well, then you've got where it won't work real good for you in other areas. But then when he said this, that your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, somebody said, I know what that is. The gospel, the good news of peace, meaning you give them the good news of the gospel. Jesus died, buried. No, that's part of it per se. But it's really not that, because he's giving an armament to you for you to be able to equip yourself for the battle at hand. Meaning this, that's not the evangelism gospel of peace that he's talking about. He's talking about a peace that becomes a compass to guide your feet, because your feet is wherever your feet is taking you someplace. It's a directional thing. So he's saying that peace, if you allow peace of God to saturate your soul and your peace, the peace of God to saturate your emotions, then you'll have a directional compass to guide you and to lead you at all times. In other words, I thought that was the right way to go. But got into it, lost everything I owned. I thought they were a good partner. Do you know, Pastor Dave used to say this, the reason why most Christians make horrible decisions is that the direction or the way that the Lord, the primary way that the Lord speaks is through peace. In other words, it's a witness. The same witness that says Abba, Father, Romans 8, is also a witness of direction as well. He's not only bearing witness of that you are his son or daughter, it's also a directionary kind of a compass. In other words, the way that he, until you learn his voice, like in other deeper parts, he'll come with visions and dreams, and then he'll also talk to you. You can, on the inside, hear his legible English or Spanish or Creole voice. But the primary way, just the infant way of God speaking to you, is that emanating peace on the inside. So the way that he will stop you from doing something or going down a road, remember the lesson, poison in a pot? In other words, there's poison in that pot, but everybody thought it was okay to eat. And once they ate it, that goes back to 1 Kings, I believe, 2 Kings. There was poison in it. Well, they didn't know. But for the New Testament believer, the way that God will stop you from doing something, like, I'm going to let my kids go over there to that to Uncle Joe's house. You have a, I don't know why that I feel like I shouldn't do that. I don't know why. As far as I know, Uncle Joe's fine. Just great guy. Dave said, if you are a person, see, peace is like this. Peace is if you're walking in peace, you're having a, if your emotions are settled in peace, you're being led down a path by your feet shod with the inward peace of God. But then if something disrupts that peace, you stop and say, wait a minute, why am I troubled? I was about to do this. Why am I troubled? I was about to sign that contract, or I was about to get this or that. Wait a minute. What's going on here? The Holy Spirit's interrupting. He doesn't take his peace completely away. He just interrupts it, and you feel all icky. You are feeling real velvety on the inside, and then you feel icky. And you say, wait a minute. What's going on here? Then he'll begin to direct you. But the reason why most Christians don't get that direction is because they always live in a life of turmoil. Their peace is always disrupted, so he can't come and disrupt perfect peace because their peace is always in a state of turmoil. So he can't reach in, because even if he did reach in, his reaching in would feel like just like everything else that you're used to. Do you understand? Because the feet shod with a preparation, I'm going on, hey, Pastor Brown, how you doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I want to be your best friend. Oh, wonderful. Something's not right here. I won't tell them. I'll just give them a hug. I want to, me and you need to hook up. Why does that? Now I was having a good day, and all of a sudden, the butterflies on the inside start. Something's disrupted. My walk of peace is just, then I get to stop and say, okay, now why? But if I'm just going from pillar to post, and then I'm worrying all the time, and I'm just, my mouth is eschewing evil, it's just always speaking, I'm just a mess, I'm a soap opera going someplace to happen, he can't step in and disrupt anything because everything's already disrupted. Do you understand how important it is to walk in peace? It'll prosper you. It'll keep you. You'll know people around you. Say, I don't know. As far as I know, they've got a great house over there. But maybe until I used to tell my girls, if you get someplace, and I've let you go there, if you get that horrible, they knew. I said, if you get that horrible feeling on the inside of your belly, you call mom and daddy, we'll come pick you up. Teach your kids. We're living in the last days. Do you understand? He's trying to equip you. I don't know how it happened. How did God let this happen? I'll guarantee you, He was way out in front of you. He was way out in front of you. He's way out in front of you. He was. You just couldn't hear Him. Hallelujah. In the blueprint prophecies, there was a prophecy that said there's a stillness that will direct your day. There's a peace that will direct your life. And that's what we're supposed to be ensuing. Pastor Dave, if you've never heard the series of that he did years ago, it's called Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. I highly, highly recommend it. He said when he was baptized, when he came to a place of really being baptized in the peace of God, he said he only could name that peace an aggressive weapon. An aggressive weapon. And he said, why peace? Call it an aggressive weapon. Because he said, peace made him more unmanageable to Satan than anything else. In other words, if Satan, if he can manage your peace, disrupt you, he'll move you like a pawn wherever he wants. You'll be an emotional mess. They say the men that make the most money are not, they're just no emotion. If you're an emotional investor, but if you have a case-hardened steel, like, I see that, but that doesn't, I know where I'm headed. Those are the guys that become billionaires. John 14:27, I'll just read it. It says, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said this, not as the world gives peace. In other words, our peace is not from this world. It doesn't matter what's happening. You can rest in peace. Philippians 4, you need to look at this. Philippians 4, go ahead and turn there, 4 verse 6. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 verse 6, and Paul said this, "Be careful for nothing." That's not to be anxious or worried about anything. "But in everything, all matters of life, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." You know, the thanksgiving's the worship. It's the thank you, Lord. Thank you for these promises. Thank you. "Let your requests be made known unto God," and He promises this, "and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He has not stopped. He's not made that promise and stopped. Here's what your part is. "Finally, as a result of wanting to have a peace that passes all understanding and keep your heart and mind, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You've got to deliberately think on things. In other words, I can't get, this is worrying me. Well, you can't stop. Your mind is built to continue to think. So the way that you stop, the way that you get something out of your mind, like worry, is you have to put your mind on something else, like the promises of God. and the good things. And he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I'll say this, and it's true, because it just is the exact truth of this scripture. If you don't do these things, the God of peace won't be with you. Well, I'm going to stay on this. I know I could read the word, but I'm going to stay on this Facebook a little bit longer and tell everybody what I'm going through. I know somebody that had that and they committed suicide. Oh, God. Well, that's a good thing to go on, to go to sleep on. But you know what? You did that to yourself, throwing all that stuff out there for... Peace is deliberate. It's deliberate. Peace is as much, as I said before, of the things that you don't do as the things that you do do. Emotions are not a switch. And private, I'll tell you, private worship is probably the biggest catalyst, besides for the word, those two. Private worship will bring peace. Incredible peace. Incredible. It has changed my life. Fears and anxieties. It can be part of it can be physical. But as I said before, the devil will jump on the physical. And what you got to understand is, like, panic attacks and fears and anxieties, much of the time, that has an entity with it. I mean, an actual person. I mean, when I say a person, I'm talking about a real live spirit. I mean, your body might be fighting something, but they will do their best to press the envelope. Okay? That's when you've got to speak. Lying in bed and being tormented and being full of the Word of God, and even thinking about the scripture, at that point, it's not going to... You got to say something with your mouth. You got to say it with your mouth. Mental and emotional confessions. Can we pass those out, please? Now, I want to say this, not that this person is desiring to have any... reflection on them, but I want to thank Miss Sarah Plamondon for her work in putting these scriptures together. She put the scriptures together and the confessions, and I thought she did an excellent job. And it's just, I'm telling you, this is already at our website, and if you're at the printed material page, you can scroll down. I think it's the last one on there. And she did an excellent job putting these together for us. Next week, we're going to go into financial prosperity, okay? This week, last week, we did some summarizing on the physical, and today, finishing up on mental and emotional health. But let me read the first part, Scriptures for Mental and Emotional Health. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Glory to God. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And that comes from Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18, or is 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now as we did before, let's do again. I hope I can do this justice, because it is so defining, and it helps us. And I would say, take these, obviously you're taking these home. Please, please do these on a regular basis. Let's start. Though I live in this flesh, I fight with spiritual weapons mighty enough to pull down all strongholds. Any thoughts, any feeling, any imagination that would try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, I call you captive. You are obedient to the truth of Jesus Christ. I am filled with all joy, and I am filled with all peace. I have not only enough hope for today, but hope that abounds forever through the Holy Spirit. My soul does not live in depression, nor does it house anxiety within me. I will hope in my God. I will praise and worship Him, for He is the health of my mind and emotions. He is the source of my well-being. I am not anxious about anything. I take all matters to God in prayer, and I thank Him for His faithfulness. Therefore, God's peace and rest guards my heart and my mind. I have peace that goes beyond all logic and worldly understanding. My thoughts are filled with truth, honesty, and justice. My thoughts are filled with purity, love, and things that are good to report. Anything that is virtuous and praiseworthy, I put my mind on these things. God has not given me the spirit of fear. He has given me as a righteous spirit of power, a godly spirit of love, and a mind that is steady and sound. I have been given beauty for ashes. The oil of joy runs over me and washes away my mourning. I put on the garment of praise and worship You, Jesus, and heaviness is lifted from me. I cast all my cares and all my worries on the shoulders of my Father, for my God cares about me, and I am on His mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These are good, aren't they? I come to You, the Lord, and I lay down my heavy burdens. He gives me rest for weariness. I carry life in the way Jesus Christ teaches me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. My soul will not be left in the depths, neither will this child of God be destroyed. My Father will show me the way. I have all fullness of joy and delight forever, because I stay in His presence at His right hand. Your perfect love in me and to me, Lord, cast out all my fears. I am not in torment. Love is greater than fear. You, God, have turned my mourning into dancing. I am no longer dressed in sadness, but I am clothed all around in gladness. You keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on You at all times. I put my trust in You, Jesus, and I receive strength that lasts forever. Jesus paid the price for my peace at the cross. By His punishment, I am now free. By His broken body, I am healed physically, emotionally, and mentally. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. This morning, as we receive the broken body and the blood of Jesus, I want you to think about these confessions that we just made, and also for the physical ones. The first place that Jesus shed His blood was in the garden. Before He ever went to the whipping post, Luke tells us that he sweated great drops of blood, in particularly because of the anxiety. The crown of thorns later was placed upon Him, and that also shed His blood. But He began in Luke's gospel crying out that the thing that was being placed upon Him was your fears, your anxieties, your sins would pass from Him. But eventually He said, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. So this morning, if you're fighting any depression, any fear, any turmoil, take these confessions. Your application is to do them past here, But also take this communion this morning and receive the peace that passes all understanding. Will you guys take this, put it on stage, and please bring, get ready. Let's all stand together, please. Those of you at home, please get ready to receive this with us. Hallelujah. Now, Harry is going to have to go to the piano. So I need Rex or Ralph, you can just, one of you guys, to come up here and help serve. Okay? There you go. Hallelujah. Now, we practice open communion here. The church, there is, you know, no membership, anything like that. We don't even have a membership role here. You're a member. Somebody said, I want to become a member of your church. Good. Show up. Wonderful. That's really great. Good to show up. So, praise the Lord. So why don't you go ahead and come down, receive it, go back to your seat, and then we'll pray a prayer and with all of you, and then you can be dismissed. Those of you online watching, get ready and hold your elements until we're all ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone served. So the Bible says that Paul wrote in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that the Lord in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. When given thanks, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. I want to make sure everybody gets served. Just a couple more, okay? That's fine. We can wait. So we're going to take the bread, and when we take the bread together, we're going to believe God that the healing power of God flows into our bodies. And this morning, our mind and emotions, that we are healed and that the Lord Jesus begins a process in us. Father, right now we receive the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This we do in remembrance of him. We earnestly remember that his body was broken not only for my sin, but also for my emotional healing and deliverance. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, the peace of God that passes all understanding, I receive through the broken body of Jesus Christ. By his stripes I am healed. Let's receive it together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. I often like to do this. I often say, Lord, even if I don't know if there's anything that I've done and somehow it escaped me, Lord, cleanse me, wash me. So let's do that together. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, if there's anything, cleanse me, wash me, cleanse us, wash us, forgive us. We thank you for this blood, and we thank you for the blood of the New Testament. And we choose to forgive. We choose to forgive. Would you say this with me? I say that I am not only forgiven, but I choose to forgive everyone their trespass against me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the cup together. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight at 6:00, we will be here and we will be praying. If anybody wants to come and do confessions with us and pray, please, every Sunday night, In 2 weeks from now, there's going to be something going on. I'll let you know a little bit more about that next Sunday. But as for now, God bless you. We love you, everyone that's watching. I hope you had communion with us, and I hope this day means something to you in the Spirit. So let's all stand. God bless you. We love you, and you're dismissed.